Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters at the end of a long journey for love between Colton and Cassie. We're recording actually a day later than we usually do because of some technical difficulties on my laptop, which have since been rectified, although I do think last night it was tied up to this whole Instagram Facebook outage. I like to think that it was their fault, not mine, even though our recording setup has nothing to do with Instagram nor Facebook. I like to pass the blame, Chris.
I fully support that, Greg, because I love conspiracy theories, and on the surface, it looks like they're not linked, but we know they are.
Of course they are. Yeah. So I don't know. Every time I do one of these intros, I think I come across pretty quickly how I feel about the episode or the season or whatever. But, I could kind of go either way at this point. The last two episodes were either a huge watershed moment for Bachelor franchise and love and loss and all the various intricacies of sex and casual dating and getting married and all kinds of things, family. Or I could just say, this all sucks and why are we doing it? And see you next season because we podcast about it. So I don't know. Where should we begin? EZR?
Well, yeah. How many? I wonder, I was trying to post posts yesterday and wonder how many Instagrammers lost their influence because realize that, the way we were attached to a machine doing something for us, or in the 90s, how we'd say, no, we're going to break away from it and the internet's the answer. And then yesterday showed a lot of us like, oh man, this is really scary. I mean, for me, I was like, whatever, it'll just post when it posts. But imagine those people that income relies on it. Anyway,
yeah, Instagram was kind of like Cassie. She left because she didn't know. And she came back after being talked into it. We were all like, come on, Instagram. I love you. I can't stop thinking. You're the thing I think about when I wake up and again when I go to sleep.
Yeah, Instagram was the one that I missed despite everything I say because Twitter was there. Facebook was there. And I'm like, whatever. I don't want you guys that you want me. You want me to sign on. Instagram doesn't want me right now.
Right. You want what you can't have. Isn't that what Colton's dad says?
That is what I called, or what I decided to call, projection rejection, because he just likes to put it on other people. I thought Colton's dad was kind of like saying the right things, and another dad that coded things the right way for their kid. So if you have to protect your kid at 20 something, oh man, that's not the life I envision as a parent. But anyway,
I love how the mom is like totally checked out too.
That's a great point.
She's the ultimate nihilist in this. We're born into this universe. Life is what we make of it, and then we die, and that's why I cut my hair bangs like this.
Well, maybe she's onto something. I want to know what Colton sees in Cassie, because I still don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll kind of get into that, Chris. So tell me by the end of this if you can't see what I think.
I sort of feel like we could make this entire last episode of the season a fashion roundup. There were a lot of really interesting fashion choices throughout of their episodes.
Yeah. I know you like Hannah B's dress at the end, but I wanted to start off, because we're going to talk about that later, with the comment I made before we started recording that the whole first night, Chris, they stopped, looked at you every 10 minutes through the screen and said, it's real, Chris. It's real.
I know. They listened last week, I think, and somehow they went and recorded this stuff that they recorded months ago. They recorded with me in mind, knowing that I criticized The Bachelor the way I did.
Really?
I did think of that. They really,
really did. It was Videodrome. Like, they looked at you. I could see them looking at you. I felt like it was a direct answer to our last podcast, and honestly, to all of your last podcasts of a season, when you say
it is
fake.
My constant refrain. Yes.
Well, first, let me ask: did you think we would be here when the season started? Right, the season started a few months ago, we booted up our first podcast of the season after, you know, break. We're like, oh, yeah, this is the beginning. And Chris is saying things like, you know, it takes me a few episodes to get into the characters and really make sense of it all. And then next thing you know, boom, here we are recording the last one of the season.
It's crazy. But they're doing, I think The Bachelorette starts sooner than it usually does.
Exactly 2 months. In fact, perfect. They released the pictures and bios of the dudes today.
Oh my goodness. So does that mean next week we discuss the dudes?
I guess so. I mean, they're doing that thing. It's like on Facebook and it's slightly interactive. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, there's also a picture of Alabama Hannah. Or I guess we just call her Hannah now. Chris Harrison and her in Alabama.
We've been searching for some appropriate Alabama music. Can we try out some of the ones you downloaded, EZR?
Oh.
This is all royalty-free Alabama bluegrass.
God. I didn't do what you said, what you told me to do, because I was ready for next season.
Oh, okay. But it's queued up. All right.
The one you said.
Yeah.
The one you sent.
Yeah. Oh, the one that we played before. Yeah, you can play that right now if you want.
All
right.
That's just such
it kind of works. It gets you in the mood.
Yeah.
That's why the South hates the left, because that's the Simpsons version of what everyone in the South, like, you know, the South listening, you know, the slack jawed yokel. I don't know if it's a trope, but it's a trope now. So let's get back to Colton and Cassie, because this is so big, or Colton and everybody, because this is so big.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on. They skipped so much just to give us 12, just to make sure it was 12 episodes. But they did skip, I mean, they skipped Fantasy Suites, essentially.
Right.
They didn't do a final rose.
Right.
Isn't that a big deal to anybody?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's tough to edit around someone like Cassie, I think. Chris, maybe you have some insight on this. It seems to me that it's not that she doesn't give the cameras content, is that she's constantly sort of restating her uncomfortableness, I guess, or her unresolved ideas. She's constantly restating them over and over. So it's really difficult to find points to sort of connect narrative together. So like, they're like, oh, we're going to go to Spain and meet my parents. Do you want to come? And she's like, well, yeah, I can't believe that we're in Portugal and you want me to go to Spain to meet your family.
You're totally right. You know, she is so passive. I think that's the thing. And the way that she is reactively stating what's happening, it's sort of like she only makes decisions once they've already been made around her. Right? It's sort of like she is just restating what we all just saw happen.
It's like, look, Cassie, you have no choice. You are going to go to Spain. There's no other way this is going to work.
Oh. Did you call them unresolved ideas? Because I thought that was a great phrase. It's exactly the right. It's sort of like she doesn't have an idea to state. So she restates these kind like the unresolved feelings around previously stated things. I think that's a great way of putting it. You're helping me here. This is like therapy.
EZR, you've been jumping to say something.
Sorry.
Because I not because of anything you guys are saying, but because I'm frustrated, like we had talked about before, but now here, that these two nights, so me and Craig are in agreement that last Monday night before the Women Tell All was a great episode. At least me and Craig are in agreement about that. Now, these last two nights, Monday and Tuesday, were, even though they were kind of, they're both pieces of, there are two pieces of the same thing. Night one, or Monday night's episode, where he has to reject Tayshia and Hannah, and then he has to confront both of them. That to me was me and all of, obviously all the producers at The Bachelor are trying to convince Chris, was very real to me. And again, it's about the lack of acting. The way they're emoting to me seems genuine. And then night two, so if we're to me, it's divided in this way. And then night two was what Chris is always saying. It is a complete setup by the producers. Producers had to confirm that she was okay with what was going to happen first.
Right.
And then they could go on. So we'll get to night two, but let's start with the first night where he goes, you know, we can just
Well, I do want to ask a question here, because you bring this has, I guess, been in my mind for a long time. I just haven't really thought about it in a concrete way. Maybe now's the time. Why is it so hard to just make a reality show where cameras follow people around? I mean, is that a deep technical question or a deep philosophical question?
Well, I feel like we see it, we see closer versions of it happening. I hate to always bring up Love Island this season, but I feel like that's a show where you capture more natural human behavior, and that's partially because cameras are everywhere. You have you don't have
more
a
like
crew.
Exactly. Cops seems legit. It's not like the producers are stopping every
totally
house
agree.
And being like, "We need you to sign this, agreement."
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Somehow they get away with it
because I think you expect cameras in certain circumstances, and unfortunately, with law enforcement, that's already kind of a heightened situation. So that's why I totally agree on Cops. Some of that footage, it's like I don't think there's any setup really necessary.
Right. So why does the Bachelor need so much? Is it because the Bachelor truly is transcendent? I mean, all of the other reality shows are on cable TV where the ratings are lower. The Bachelor has a huge share on network television. Is that why they have to go to all this manipulative producer places? Because they have to have this high level of production or whatever comes with that?
Yeah. Okay, well, I see what you're saying. I'd agree with what I think you're saying.
There was a time when The Bachelor first started off, which even though I had only seen, I've only been a dedicated fan since, like 12 years ago, it was still a show, 15 years ago, right? And when it started off, there was no villains there. I mean, there were, but they weren't played up like they are now. So it was supposed to be this sweeping romantic thing. So kind of the day we got with Cassie, the Tuesday night last episode was kind of what it used to be. There used to be less competition involved. Right. And I think to have that, you have to have a lot of prior agreements. You can't just be like, well, if you really like him, go for it. Because now producers are just kind of throwing people in like a barrel and seeing what happens to create drama. So the way they went to Cassie and warned her, which is what I'm going to get to eventually, that they went to her and definitely told her, because her reactions to me are so fake that they have to make sure that that's going to happen now, to get these happy endings. When's the last time we saw a not happy couple on The Bachelor, at least for a few months?
Well, just today, EZR, my next issue of People Magazine came. This is the subscription of People Magazine that I don't actually know how I have it.
Yeah, I have a few of those. I mean, not People, but other magazines. They just come to my house. I'm
like,
okay.
I don't pay money to anything, and I don't remember signing up for it. I just get it. But you always know it's going to be a good issue of People Magazine because it's thicker, And it's her putting into photography the same. Let me get this straight. We're going from Portugal to Spain to meet your family. That's how she's able to, like a good model, like the top models, right? They can say things with their look, right? She's saying that with her look. It's amazing.
So then she is successful in terms of. Yeah, she can communicate with her whole being is sort of like unified.
It doesn't she seem so flattered and so like not like humble brag, like a brag. I don't mean flattered. I mean like she's bragging that this guy, man, that was so hard for me. Can we get to that? Because we got to get through it.
Yeah,
Tayshia,
sure.
Anna.
This is your podcast, EZR.
No, it's everyone's podcast. No, I just want to make sure we get them out of the way because I do want to like dig into that. That is so kind of obnoxious. But anyways, Chris, when Tayshia said, "Can we talk away from the cameras?" Does that give you? Can we talk off camera? That is like the reality factor and how there's a lot of dishonesty when you're in front of a camera. I mean, isn't that something to you?
Even
if you had your mic packs on.
Right, exactly. I think I would believe one of these moments more if it didn't feel like it always happened in this perfect way. It's just there's so many of these big dramatic moments. in a pattern in the last seasons that I've seen, including, I think, of that, including we talked about Colton storming in the middle of the night, including a lot of these big showcase moments are so perfectly staged and captured. And real life so rarely works like that, that I'm hyper suspicious that it's like The Bachelor, the last few seasons, just happens to get this exactly in this episode with people kind of having the similar version of this thing. That's sort of why, to me, my flag, like, I just don't buy it. It just doesn't feel like real life to me. I hate to say, but no.
I mean, it isn't for you guys, you technical, you both are media people. Doesn't bad lighting give you a good clue? You know, sometimes they're in bad light.
Right. Well, then it's fake or real.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh,
well,
you think it's intentional, it's an easy bad way, lighting.
It's an easy way to fake, like you're telegraphing, this is more real, which is what I feel like The Bachelor has done with the shaky cams and bad lighting.
Yeah, they always have a camera on hand
that's a part of the plan.
Shaky. They're like, okay, quick, cut to the other camera so we make this look more authentic.
Exactly. Oh, man, it's even deeper than I thought it was. I thought that would be your clue.
I feel like I'm misleading you and saying, I don't mean plan like they had a shot list all for that and whatnot, but when you have a moment like that, and the Tayshia one was a good example where you hear a lot of things that are going on when they're completely off camera, and that could be ADR'd completely. And I was thinking, it seemed like so many of those lines became so clean and were so perfect. Right. I don't think they recorded those the day of while they had that angle. It was like they ADR'd some stuff in later.
This triggering for me, you see. And I know we've talked about this in past seasons here on The Bachelor Masters, but it's like, why? Why do they feel they have to give us this perfect production? I mean, I know when things have high ratings, it becomes like bureaucratic thinking. Yeah, you got to do whatever you do to perpetuate the same thing. Like the ratings need to stay high. So you get into this insular way of thinking where you're going to reproduce and heighten the things that you think are working. I just don't know how we got here, because the real world of yore, not the current real world, that was all straight up reality TV. There was very little production. You know, I think they make a point of, like, there was only one rule, and it's that you can't mention past real world seasons. I think that's like famously their rule to kind of show you that there really was no producer involvement in the, you know, in what they captured. So it's like, how did we get to this point?
That's kind of cool.
We're wondering if they're voicing over lines, you know, in production. Like, it's just like, I don't understand that.
You know what I wonder, and I think both of you would be better to speak to this because you know more of the behind the scenes and the history of Bachelor. But my feeling is The Bachelor has this pretense of being real still, where it sounds like Big Brother, definitely Love Island, which if it's like Big Brother is the same thing. They foreground the artifice so that it actually becomes more real. They're like a little more transparent with like who did what behind the scenes.
Right,
so you feel like you're in on that, and that becomes more real.
Yeah.
Whereas
and
The
Bravo
Bachelor
started doing that too.
Yeah, like, The Bachelor still plays everything like it's for real. And we know it's not all for real, but it lets your mind run wild where it's like, well, if they're trying to make this obviously fake moment play just as real as this moment that we're arguing about, who knows? You can't trust anything.
Right.
Well, Chris, I know your go-to right now has been Love Island. And I watched Love Island and I like it, but then it kind of starts dragging on because I think it's just too much. You know, it's fun, I think, in the summer. The way European seasons work, I think it works with that. I don't mean like fall,
but that's a
winter,
question.
Summer. I mean,
I'm
like
not bringing it
seasons
up in terms of quality here. If we're talking in terms of the one-to-one representation of truth that you see on screen, that's the only reason I'm bringing that up.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm going to get to.
I also like
it
a lot more. I do think it's way better, but.
I really think, I'm not trying to parse out even further what's real versus what's real. Like, I just want to say that with Love Island, there's purposefully a lot more emotions involved. Like, they get jealous, they get mad, and that doesn't happen as much on The Bachelor, or it's not supposed to, like, you know, in theory for the older people, it's not supposed to happen as much. You're supposed to get just a contained love story. And I think I'm not saying men in general, but I am saying men in general tend to respond a lot better, or tend to think, emotions other than quote unquote cheesy romantic love, like jealousy and mad and hate and, backstabbing is a lot more real. Now, I'm not saying that you're not right, but I am saying that
I'm so confused with what you're saying. You're saying Love Island is more angry and more emotions, and I think that's more real, but men in general don't think that that's more real?
No, no. Men in general tend to think that those emotions are more real. Like
that,
cheesy
that love and
then like
is,
cheesy
is
love.
More
yeah.
real.
That
is more
those
real.
Emotions,
is that, that's what you're
mad
saying.
Mad love, mad, sorry. Those, yeah, those emotions, mad, jealousy, hate, backstabbing are more real on TV than romantic love.
Love. Hmm. Well, I don't think Love Island has more of that. And so I don't think I agree with that. But I don't know about men on the whole. I don't know. I don't understand
I that
I'm, line.
I make that
argument.
Point only about Love Island because to me, Love Island does have more of that. It has because it has so many more couples and so many more, you know, they will take a happy couple and purposefully bring in an ex. So it's like,
yeah,
for
that's
that
true.
Of.
But see, something Craig brings up this season a lot. I don't think Love Island is playing the. I think that Love Island plays the emotions more narrowly, and so it feels more real. So I'd actually have the opposite point because it's much more about this is a casual thing. They'll have people couple up based on friendships or be very open that this is just a physical attraction. And I just want to have sex with this. It's much more about this sort of like. We're in this casual environment, and I think that when they bring in exes or do this manipulation, they're telegraphing that to you. They're not hiding that. They're saying, we're right. trying to get this response in a way The Bachelor right. doesn't do. It's more about transparency and not the emotions, I would say. The Bachelor has almost no transparency.
Right, and I agree with the – what I know you're not really saying this, but I agree with the part that you're saying that, you know, they hook up and then – they end up with three exes in their house and then the guy they're with or, you know, the other way around, a guy ends up with the exes. And on The Bachelor, the one thing they never really cut through is that Cassie is probably going to be friends with a lot of her people right. on her season. And
yes.
all those people have dated Colton. And that happens every, right? Like,
right.
Garrett
well,
is really
like
good
they
friends
call
with
them
guys
ex,
that have had sex with
ex.
Becca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things you and Craig bring up that I also love and find fascinating, wish they had more on the show, is they, a lot of these people know each other before going on the show or live in the mm-hmm. same cities after. It's like a incestuous isn't the right word, but, you know, an internal kind of
yeah.
community right. of dating. And
well, as yeah. People Magazine revealed, Cassie now lives in West Hollywood. She's treading on the Bravo turf. That's always been their domain.
Yeah.
I mean, well, like Bachelor is like
overlays.
Nashville, you know, New York City. And the Bravo's always had strongholds in West Hollywood and Fort Lauderdale. So we'll have
can
to
we have
see
a
how this shakes out.
Show map, this flavor place.
Yeah,
I
can make
Atlanta.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Chris, part two of my possible evidence. And I'm not. At this point, I'm not trying to sway you. I'm just trying to give you.
Okay, no,
what,
I love
what
it.
Are we
I love it.
Restate the sway here.
Again, the swaying is me and obviously the producers of The Bachelor are turning to the camera every 20 minutes saying, do you believe us now, Chris? Because this is real. So
I love it.
Hannah G, who got dumped and apparently thought the whole time it was going to be her, much like Lauren, I'm guessing.
Well, can I jump in real quick? Have you seen this mm-hmm. this video? I think it's by E, you know, the E TV network of Hannah. It's called Hannah Rapping Redemption.
No.
Oh, she's in like a locker room rapping, like a recap of the final episode. And it's, you know, way overproduced. You haven't seen this?
No, okay. It sounds funny, though. Is it painful? Is it more like the way it initially played where we were all cringing while she was doing it?
Well, when it comes to YouTube videos, to me, like, funny is Celebrity Jeopardy of SNL, right? Where Sean Connery character makes no sense whatsoever and is constantly making fun of... Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, no. That was Burt Reynolds, sorry.
Yeah, he played Burt Reynolds. Like, to me, that's funny. Whatever Hannah B... whatever she did with this rapping thing, I would not put in that same.
Oh my god, they can't be funny. The E channel, it's really bad. Trying to watch that one of their roundup shows recently just to get some more Bachelor insight, and I was like, no, this is they.
I'm glad you guys are saving
flat.
Comedy here. I'm yeah. That's good. It's like that's not art. Be careful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but why are you bringing that
us,
up?
Please.
Right. So anyway, Easier was talking about Hannah G.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, Chris, let's say that your premise of, you know, I mean, let's just, one of the things you always say is that anyone who goes on a reality TV show looking for love is dumb. More or less, right? Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, or at least they should have it in their set of goals to become Instagram famous. If you fall in love on the side, great.
Right. Yeah, but exactly. Hannah G was an Instagram influencer, right, and she was a pageant person. And Colton, I think, wants to live off of his charity. So let's say about 40% of the people, in the very least, Colton and Hannah G both wanted to look for love, or that was their end result. Like, if they both wanted it, then what's the, then there's two people who were looking for love on TV. I guess, I don't know. What about them, Chris?
If it's true, I don't wish anything bad upon them. I just think
you
that
want them to die. What do you mean?
No. I just think if you're going on season 23 of The Bachelor and you don't have an inkling in your mind that it might be manipulated or your feelings might get hurt or that there might be better ways, if your end goal is to look for a healthy relationship, I don't have a ton of sympathy when you get caught up in the manipulation and whatnot, because it's like, this isn't season one of something we don't know about. We have 20 years to look through what TV and we hasn't everyone seen The Truman Show by now? That right, warned us about reality TV and being, you know, always on display. And so
Hannah G in particular is such a strange case, because, you know, I'm not going to stand here and call her dumb. There's lots of ways to gauge intelligence, and I'm not here to prescribe how she scores on any of that. But the fact that there were people rooting for her or wanted her to be the bachelorette or whatever, it just makes no sense to me, because there was nothing there. There was nothing there at all. There was nothing there like, oh, she got dumped and now she feels bad, or, wow, she made all the way to the end and it didn't work out. It just, there was nothing ever.
It was a little satisfying that she did seem very upset and surprised when she got dumped. That was a little satisfying.
Dang, you guys are cool.
See, I won't even go that far. She wasn't she wasn't surprised and dumped or whatever. She was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And happened to have some words spoken to her by a guy she was on a reality show with. I don't even know what was going through her mind, if anything.
I think her mind was that it was hers to lose and that he rejected her, and that hurts. Like, that's
But she has this ability of ignorance that I think lots of people we wish we had, which is just to really not be understanding what's going on around you to a full extent. So it's like, all right.
Yeah, not a bad point. That's her superpower.
To my rich Alabama family, and continue to do things that rich people do and have very little care for the rest of us.
Because that's how we have described her in weeks past, as being someone who really seems to care about nothing, right? That she's kept her mouth shut in tough situations because she really doesn't seem to care, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I'm not feeling actual sympathy for, maybe I am, but now that you guys say that, I'm reminding that I shouldn't.
you were having sympathy, but now that you're reminded of how she is, now you have no sympathy. Good.
Yeah, my bigger picture is that people do go on, everybody, 40%, 30% of the contestants go on looking to be the last ones and possibly in some fame on the side. And their goal is to find somebody that they want to be with and that the whole world knows they're with. And, fame absolutely plays into it, but there's those people that are like, I love, you know, she was like saying, I love you. Well, here's a related to the manipulation on the producer side of possibly manipulating her. And I think Colton just kind of said, you know, trust me or trust that I'll make the right choice. Here's her asking if the fantasy suite order would have made a difference, which was your point, Greg, earlier.
Right.
So here we go.
Right.
Do you think if you would have given that a chance, do you think it would have been a thing? Or do you think it was not me clearly the whole time?
That's her saying, could I have had sex with you?
Right.
And then we could have, and then you might have been not wanting to be with Cassie. I thought that was super interesting that she did
we have to give Craig credit on this episode, don't you think, that if Colton had had a lot more casual sex, he would have been better off? He should have been trying these things.
Yes, yeah. I've been saying that all along.
He's putting so much pressure on Cassie and the fact that she's the one before. And you can tell she's completely over that. And Colton, he'll probably be more over it after he's slept with her than he knows. He's not in a relationship with her yet.
Right. Well, in the People magazine article this morning, he's been with her for a few months now. So he's, I mean, I'm just putting that out there. We've only seen, you know, on TV, we saw the immediate thing. But, you know, the narrative has continued and they seem just the same now on this People magazine spread.
Yeah. So. I would love a reality show that is about that period when it's like you have to be with someone at their most frumpy, you know, when you're both crabby with each other. And that's the thing, like Colton, he's just horny and, you know, I don't know. I worry for Colton, you know, even though I'm so cold hearted, I worry for him. I'm like his dad. I want what's best.
Well, it was funny when they finally did go to Spain and he sits them down, the whole family, and he goes, I got something to tell you. I'm no longer a virgin. They're all like,
yeah,
give each other high fives.
Yeah.
And he goes, wait. That's a lie. Oh, and they're like, oh, and he's like, well, what's the real news? Oh, I ended up with Cassie, and they're all like, oh.
Like, we thought you would have had sex with at least three people by now.
Yeah. Craig, when you have a virgin bachelor, you're not going to get three nights of three different women. It's just for his precious virginity that he considers precious. He's not going to do that. You know, he was never going to do that. I think you kind of think, oh, wouldn't that be great? But it wouldn't have happened. So we can skip the whole part where a panel got together to try to convince Chris Rowe that it's real.
Was it the panel of males? Was it that one of men?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was funny.
That was
the point when I was really like, what the hell is going on? There's always a moment in every Bachelor episode, some more than others, where I really question the choices I've made in my life. That, you know, led us to be a podcast about the show. But that panel was just one of the worst of that moments I've ever had.
Well, yeah. I knew you would think that because one of the people on the panel is someone that Craig will not name, here called Duck. And I knew you'd be real, real upset. Yeah.
Well, he kept comparing. He kept saying, like, using examples from his relationship with Crystal Meth, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, like me and Crystal, yeah. And it's like, wow, you really have a skewed view of what people think of you and Crystal. You're using them, you guys, as an example.
Okay. Now, Cassie, I'm going to attack this in a few different ways. So I might start my sentences over, but I'll end them differently every time because I have so many things are wrong, and I'll start off with this, and I don't like using the word narrative that much because I think it's overplayed. I think it's, you know, our word of the decade for the world right now. But she really, really changed the narrative, the show did for her, I'm guessing. I don't think it was her. Because she said that she's not ready to get married. When what she actually said was that her heart wasn't in it, which is way different. So her dad came to Portugal and said, Cassie, you're being a fake person because you just want to be on TV. And she said, yeah, you're right. I don't really like Colton. I'm just trying to be on TV for as long as possible.
I respected her most right then.
Yeah. And then, so she went to Colton and said, you know what? I don't really like you. I think I like you okay. And, you know, maybe we would have dated in middle school, but this is not like what a real relationship is like. So she left. And then when Colton went to get her, he said, I know you're not ready for marriage. I know you're scared, you know, she also said something like, I have such a hard time deciding sometimes. That's not what happened. So I hate when they shift things on us completely, because when someone tells you, no, I'll never like you, but come back for me later, but, or a definitive, my heart isn't in it. which means you can't convince someone to love you.
We deep dive into that in our last episode.
But it's frustrating that they would change that on us. I don't want to get into that again. I want to get.
The show has a stake in telling the story they know how to tell. So it was going to get normalized, to use a term, into that narrative, to also use a term.
Yeah. Yeah, you're both right, because Cassie, when she flips the script, is saying what you said, ECR, that she meant she wasn't sure about marriage. But basically, by the end, she has all but accepted a proposal that wasn't given, where she's accepting the final rose. They're talking about taking it day by day for the rest of their lives. So basically, you're right. She weaseled out of what she had said, and they forced her into this whole other tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but you have more points, right?
Right. So, so we're going to come back to Cassie, but can we just play where Chris, I'm on your side for like a whole episode here. Producers came down and said, come on, take Colton back. Do it. And she's like, they're like, you'll be on TV and be more famous and get to be on the cover of People. And then she says, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll do whatever. I mean, as long as I'm famous, right? And then they have this completely fake conversation. So this is, I think, what you said, Chris, where you said, here's your feelings, now act them out. And the word she uses, I'm nervous, that's crazy, what a shock. So here's them being completely, eyes fake.
I ended things with Tayshia and Hannah.
What?
I'm so nervous right now. What? This is really crazy. I can't believe you did that.
You know how much I didn't want to watch you walk away? I hopped an 8-foot fence and ran away.
I grabbed my wallet.
Ew.
I went upstairs, I grabbed my wallet, and I ran away.
So what did the... Right, so...
One of my favorite moments in all of movie history is a more recent movie called Terminator Genesis, which didn't do very well. It was a good idea, which was to blend all of the histories of previous Terminator films into like a contemporary time travel movie.
Anyway,
there's a Sarah Connor character who is Sarah Connor, but she doesn't have any of the memories of past Terminator movies, right? So she doesn't know Arnold's catchphrase, I'll be back. She hasn't heard that before. So in the movie, there is a suspenseful scene in the Terminator Arnold has to jump out of a helicopter. So he turns to her and he says, I'll be back. And Sarah Connor says, what? And he jumps out of the helicopter. I just love that.
And so, Craig, you wrote that line. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they called me up. They're like, what would you write? And I say, have him say, I'll be back. And then her not know what that phrase means. And
they
just say,
saw
what?
Inception underwater on your YouTube. They said, we got to call this guy up. He's got a line for us.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
There's just no way that they would have known that fence jump was going to be a classic moment. Like, there's no way. You don't know.
Right.
That doesn't matter. Like,
I just love her response. There's a way to, so she doesn't just say what. She does the thing where she like stutters her W's like, what? Like, that's the best kind of what. She's like, I broke up with, you know, whatever. And she's like, what?
I'm really frustrated when they are self-referential before it was even a big deal. They showed us The Bachelor, but we, Bachelor Nation, kept that excitement going for the fence. They did not know it was going to be as big as it was.
They had an idea, because they teased it about it a million times.
No, they definitely did, but the fact that they made him say that, he wouldn't have said that. He would have said, I ran away from production. I wanted to quit. Wouldn't have said, I jumped a fence.
Like, oh, yeah.
You don't say, hey, I punched a wall for you. You say, I got so angry, I just like showed my and then I ran off. You know, that felt totally not real to me. Anyway, go ahead.
You're right. Colton is one of the best out of, I know every Bachelor, mostly Bachelor, Bachelorette as well, but every lead has to speak in Bachelor cliche to some extent, but he does it so convincingly. If I met him on the road and he spoke in Bachelor cliche, I wouldn't know if he was being fake or not. That's how thoroughly do Ari. I think I would know, okay, this guy doesn't normally act like this. Colton, I have no idea though.
you know, Ari and Colton go for the same simple women. I think that's what you were getting at, Chris, that Cassie is, her and Hannah G are comparable, which was really weird to see at the end, because he keeps kind of, same thing he's doing with other women, right? He like puts on to them what he thought, what he thinks is important. Like, oh, you must be this. So he tells Cassie like 10 times, you know, oh, you're so quirky and weird. This is why we're supposed to be together. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever you say. You know, I've had this conversation with people that I don't love or want to be with. And it seems like she's convinced. I've had this conversation with other people, not with a boyfriend, but with other women who love people that love them. Now, when someone dotes on me or loves me too much, it's not going to end well. I lose so much respect for that person, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common
right
thing. Yeah.
That you think that, right, Craig? But I know women who want that. Why would
well,
you want
this,
that?
I mean, this goes into a whole different thread that I think I've mentioned at various points, but haven't really dedicated a whole episode to, which is that most women, I think, date. So, you know, my number system, right? Two up, yeah, or two down. If you're a six, you date it up to an eight or down to a four. I think most women prefer to date down even past that, the number. So if you're an eight woman, you don't mind dating a four or three or two, because there's a whole bunch of reasons why.
Eight with a two?
Like being the hotter one. Yeah. Just think about how many women, you know, attractive, hot women that are with guys that are douchey and unhygienic. I don't know if you watch that show Very Cavallari on E! Network, but that's a good example.
I tried watching. Yeah, her husband
her husband's Jay Cutler. He's actually really funny, but her assistant dates this rock band guy, and he's just
black haired girl. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, she's dark. I didn't know who that was.
So this is a classic example. I think women date down all the time because they want to be the hotter one in the relationship or something.
There's even a scene where, and I tweeted this, I mean, not tweeted, sorry, Instagrammed or whatever, where Colton and Cassie are watching themselves watch a video about Cassie. And they're, throughout, Cassie is looking admiringly at herself, like through the inception, you know, within a screen, is just looking at herself being like, wow, look at me. It just goes to show that, you know, she just wants to see a reflection of herself in the person that she's dating, because she wants to make sure he loves her so much, not as much as she loves herself, but pretty close.
I mean, there's so much psychology and, you know, Freud stuff. I mean, there's so much to that box to open about why women may or may not like being with guys that like them more than they like them.
Well, there is a theory I can back up with anecdotes, but women that tend to want this is because they never had much of a dad figure. Now, that doesn't seem to go for Cassie, but I know a woman who's, you know, had to, I'm so glad he loves me. It's the first time I've ever been happy. And she's with someone who is, I mean, he's just, to me, they're like Dwight and Michael Scott. You know, like, she's Mike Scott and he's Dwight, so they're kind of like Dumb and Dumber kind of. And he is just after her and after all her stupid ideas and like kind of her general ditziness. And it reminded me of that. She likes looking at herself and she likes the way he looks at her. So it's so interesting that that's what won her over. Oh, you love me that much? That's awesome. Okay, I'll be with you. Like, how does that... I still don't think that's right. Like you're saying, Craig, you don't ask people to take you back.
Right.
Because there's a reason they said no.
Right. Well, I mean, there's been so much in academic circles around, you know, the pixie dream girl and, you know, the girl that the guy wants that's out of her league, but they end up together in the end. I mean, who's that actor who's in all the movie? He played the Hulk most recently.
Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah. He's kind of like that classic, like, he's pretty good looking and he's, you know, pretty funny. So, I'll end up with him in the end. I think there's even a movie where he kills Reese Witherspoon.
You think he's like schlubby? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he plays that part.
I think
yeah. Look, ultimately in the end, this is my big giant contribution to the world of an idea. It's that most people are not happy. That's just it. It's not something that people want to hear. I can't go around saying, you know, most people are miserable, but I think they are. And they project what they don't like about their life and their partner and their kids or whatever, their family, onto what they watch on TV. I think that's a big part of why people watch Bravo shows and watch The Bachelors, because why are they so hard on Jax from The Bachelor? Like, what is it? Sorry, from Vanderpump Rules. What has Jax ever done to them?
You love Jax.
Yeah, but the only reason that people are upset with Jax is because he reminds them of the things they don't like about their own husband.
I do love this theory. I don't necessarily disagree, and I think that's why I would rather have a show where it's like people are exploring what it means to be functioning while having lots of misery, you know?
Right, right.
I think yeah.
And that is an interesting, I mean, I think we've all kind of thought that, but never said it as well as you had right now, Craig. But like when you know, when Carly and Evan got together, now I keep going back to this because I'm still angry that they're a couple. Just kidding. I just think don't lie to us, you know, settle. That's fine. You both settled. I think they both did not do as well as they could have.
Especially Evan.
Right.
Especially Evan. But isn't that why we hate the bullshit arcs of these seasons? Isn't that why we get frustrated by the end? Because we see that it's like, as soon as they get close to something honest, we see, no, they've been planning that they're going to have a Nicholas Sparks ending to every season that just feels so removed from life. Where it's you can go back to the girl and ask her to take you back. And if she sees your heart is pure enough, Cassie with Colton, then you'll get together and it'll be great. It's like, wouldn't it be so much more interesting if he dumped those two women, Tayshia and Hannah, and then Cassie didn't want him, and we had to see how he sat with that? And isn't that how 99% of life works?
Right.
Right. And some finales make me feel better, and this one felt so empty to me because, you know, she loves herself. That's the and honestly, you know, And if we're using Craig's number system, he is not. I mean, she doesn't genuinely love him, but he's within that range, and I think he's just as good as her. I don't know what number I would.
Let's get tangible here. So the number system was described by Joey Tribbiani in the spinoff show Joey, which was a show about Joey moving in with his cousin. So Joey just makes fun of the cousin. That's the premise of the show. So anyway. If you're a six, you can date two higher, you can date two lower. That's your zone. So Joey says to the cousin, see, I am a nine, which means I can date a seven or a hypothetical 11. That's the joke. It's funny. But the number system isn't just looks. It includes all kinds of things like personality, right? So let's come up with a number for Colton.
Well, Craig, I wonder, would you include money and wealth in the number thing?
I think it's an all-inclusive picture. I mean, it's like,
because I was going to say, the schlubby guys that you're talking about with hot spouses or significant others,
have lots
usually
of money.
I see that, yeah, with rich men. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially here in Los Angeles.
Right. I think there's a game people play in LA.
I'm sure you guys play it. When you go to a restaurant, you see a young 20-something woman with an older, like, 50-something man, and you're wondering if it's her dad or her boyfriend. I mean, that happens all the time. Yeah.
It happened with you and Mike Fleiss.
Right. That's exactly what Craig said.
It did. I was like, that's either the executive producer of a hit reality TV show talking to a contestant, or that's her dad. Let's say he's a six.
What?
Eight?
I mean,
eight?
On first impressions with no background knowledge of how completely lost he
You're
is
gonna
emotionally.
Give him an eight?
He was the Bachelor.
Think of John Stamos.
Mark Ruffalo.
Now, see, Mark Ruffalo by definition is a five. That's the role he plays. That's how would he get cast?
I was going to say, he's a famous Oscar-nominated actor. Doesn't that make him an 8-up automatically?
George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise. And you're going to put, and let's say those are all 9s or 10s, you're going to put Colton right there as an 8?
I think I'd agree. Because he's an NFL player. He's the bad player. He's anatomically correct. He's famous.
And you know what, Craig? This needs to have more dimensions. It can't just be X plane. It has to be X, Y, Z.
Let's just move on. What is Cassian? in your inflated, warped number system, where Colton is somehow an 8, what is Cassian?
I have a number, Sarah. Oh. What's yours?
Go ahead.
I would say 7. You're the guy. She's a 7.
What?
Yeah.
7? Okay. So you're saying that Colton scores higher than Cassie?
Yeah. Colton was an NFL player. I agree with ECR that other things. Cassie, I would think, oh, you're an Instagram model. You're cute. I don't know anything about you. Colton, though, played in the NFL. That's like an 8 floor if you're in something that exclusive.
We're clearly
way off track here.
I think Cassie is a 9 because guys don't really care about much.
Her sister, maybe, not her.
Me and Chris said this during our live remote, but they look like white mice with red eyes. Like they all kind of scared me.
Yes, I think you guys are being very too generous here. But anyway, there was some point you were trying to make ECR. Diverted us.
You said, what's our numbers for them? And I said, these are our numbers for them.
Because, wait, Craig, let me put it a different way. Maybe just so we can get some consensus on at least where we can agree to disagree in a good way. If Colton walked down the road dating a 10, you wouldn't think that was out of the question because he was the Bachelor and an NFL player. So he's an 8. So he has to be in that 2-point range.
Yeah, but personality and whatever, job or whatever, is not everything. There's other factors included, such as how you look.
He's in great shape though.
If God did not bless you with good looks in this world, and yet you turn out to be this great, successful dude who's nice to everyone, fantastic. Or you could have been born like John Stamos, but at the same time been a total asshole. That's fine. That all works out. Or you could have been like Rachel, the Bachelorette Rachel's sister's husband, and be a 0 because you didn't do anything. And
yeah, but that's true. But I think incredibly good-looking people who are either really stupid or are unlucky end up in paths of life where they become like 4s. Where I would look at a guy and be like, that guy, he's a 9.
But that can only take. You're right. But see, Colton hasn't done enough to elevate him to be an 8.
Are there bachelors you put in front of him? So, too bad.
who's a better looking recent bachelor? I want to know. Like, what's the best looking bachelor?
America likes Ben Higgins.
Yeah,
I think Juan Pablo was very good looking, and he knew it. Nick Vial seems to get a lot of women, but he gets women for that reason that like scumbaggy dudes get women.
Yeah, he's like an a-hole. Yeah.
Yeah, why is he hitting on me? Like, what's wrong with me that he's not hitting on me? It's that kind of thing.
So, yeah, he does get that. But if I can answer that question, Chris, only because please. I guess I'm the only one who likes men here. I mean, you know, not really, but I guess to me, and not because he's in recent memory, but Ari was one of the best looking.
Yeah, Ari was very good looking.
Yeah. But like,
but you know what?
Okay.
Lauren B is also incredibly attractive. They're within their number range. So there you go. See, it works.
I bet being a 6, if you're looking for a lot of casual sex, is the best number to be. Just low enough, not intimidating, but high enough that people will go over that threshold with you.
Yes. If you can be born a 6 in this world,
you're there great. You go.
Life has given you lemons.
That's a D, guys. Well, either way, like we're saying, we need to have more than one trajectory. It can't just be an X plane. It has to be, because if you're walking down the street, how do I know who Ari is if I'm, you know, stranger in a strange land? I don't, he's good looking enough to be very, you know, that's a good looking guy. But if you don't know all these other things about them, then you can't really tell, you know. So, Craig, to your point, I think there needs to be a lot more numbers.
But you can try. You hop into bed and you just give it a go. And then you're like, wow. Ari is now a 7.
That is not how my life works.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm saying.
So, we are at the very, very end of the season here. This is not just the final moments of this podcast. We have to think of what our topic, our last few thoughts are going to be in a momentous way,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot that has been unsaid today. There's so much rich tapestry in what The Bachelor gave us the last two episodes. I feel like we've only touched on a little bit. I mean, there's the fact that she suddenly, Cassie decided to wear these white turtlenecks.
She did. You're right.
Which was, like, odd. And then she wore this, like, halter top.
Fashion roundup.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's just so much. And then Hannah B. wearing this red dress, which could have also been an orange dress, which had its sleeve going all the way down to the ground.
That thing was cool. I'm convinced Hannah B. is way, way more into fashion than I thought. So
her smile freaks me out, man. It's like, it's literally going to be a whole season next season of us.
Yeah.
Of me, like, no, fearing her smile.
Here's the
Don't
thing.
Don't make,
like,
her smile. Don't say anything funny or charming in front of her, lest we get more of her smile.
You know, I feel like they were Bachelor Nation, or the producers were finally trying to do something for Bachelor Nation, because that is a dagger to Caitlin, right? Hannah B., despite whatever, she was so inarticulate the whole season.
Right. Yes.
And there's no way they would have, in a real world where she didn't have an enemy for a little while, they would not have picked her. Because even at the very end, when she's sitting on the couch and Chris is like, do you want to do it now? She's like, okay. You know, she can't even get a few words together.
Right. And it's going to be a season of the toast. The toast that never was.
Right. Like Becca kept talking about Ari the whole season.
Yeah,
I hope Kaylin doesn't weasel her way back into Hannah's good side. And I think she's not, she would fall for Kaylin being nice to her again, I feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not excited, because she is that.
I mean, she's 24. It's like, how?
She's supposed to have four babies by
how
now.
How much more of this? I mean, we say this at the end of every season when we know who the next person's going to be. Three of us go, ugh, like, how are we going to do this? And why are we going to watch some 24-year-old try to find love on TV, blah, blah, blah. And then, the next season rolls around and we do another whole podcast. So we will be here and we will do the podcast. But consistent. What is the freaking breaking point?
She is.
To watching is a 24-year-old want to find the person, their person or whatever. I mean.
Well, we started on a high note. I think, wasn't Rachel Lindsay our first season?
Yes.
And she is. I know that's as far back as I go, but she is so head and shoulders above Becca now. I'm sorry, we're just talking about the Bachelorettes because that's the season we're coming on. But honestly, the men also, I think that's part of why, for me, I'm always like looking for that Rachel figure to be the lead, and they're not.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's totally the issue. This was a reactionary choice, because right now I'm happy that they stuck it to Kaylin. But really, they really should have picked
Tayshia.
No, I don't even think Tayshia, because honestly, Tayshia might have had the same, like, you know, I had that theory about the Becca thing. She might have had the same reactions from men that Becca did, unfortunately. But I think that they should have picked someone like Katie, or someone that got cut a little bit earlier that guys like.
Or guys for the love of God, someone who hasn't been on it. Past season.
Well, at least
we just sound like broken records. I mean, really, we don't even need to do the podcast anymore. I can just set up some software that just breaks apart past things you said and just spits them all together, you know?
Get a loop in a script, and depending on X episode in season, we have this soundbite. But then, good, we're getting close to being a corporate podcast.
That's true.
I was telling Craig the other day, Chris, that we are really getting into, I think if we can break through that, you know, we already know the format, but we can really get into the dialectics of talking about what Craig was saying earlier, how we are breaking down, you know, the man-woman dynamic. What were you saying, Craig, about the, said something to me that we were talking about that was insightful about?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Recorded Chris? Recorded Chris, what do you think next season is going to be like? What do you think the main themes are going to be?
Oblivion and a fulfilling existence.
Wow.
That was right. That was on point. Why don't I just say that to everything? Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Oh, I almost do.
I think we should. I think we could. We're onto something here. We'll just we'll turn into a bot.
What we have are absurd comedy sketches that are just occasionally broken up by sound bites of The Bachelor that we used to say about other seasons. We just stopped watching. We're the first show that doesn't even watch The Bachelor, but we podcast about it.
I think we can get away with it.
I think our read on Colton from the very beginning was kind of right on that. He is just, you know, caveman simple. And that is hard to watch because it doesn't give you a lot of insight. But in a way, Hannah B. is interesting because we don't know what kind of guy. I do think Hannah B. is more interesting, even though she is, like we said, inarticulate. Or like I said, inarticulate. Mm-hmm. I think she'll be an interesting bachelorette. I think she's the kind of face that doesn't look well on a, you know, flat screen. I think she's a 3D kind of face. So maybe we're not giving her enough credit. I think guys are going to like her.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I like that. And I do think you see behind Hannah B, more than Kaylin especially, is willing to be real sometimes. So that's what's interesting about her, is that I feel like she's got her beauty pageant routine most of the time. But then sometimes she'll say, well, Kaylin's manipulative, or I'm trying to think, but there are a few examples where she kind of breaks that down. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and she's not really good at being a beauty pageant, as we've learned. Like beauty pageant,
right? She's always runner up.
Because she's, you know, she breaks down, and I think she is the kind of person who maybe we can articulate her problems for her, because she's going to be like, that guy is so, and the other guy is so, and she won't finish her sentences, and then she'll, you know, go like, you know, draw a blank, and we'll be like, this is what she meant to say. I think it'll be a good season.
We need fashion every week, fashion roundup. That's how we will.
Yeah, if there's one thing that Hannah B. can give us, it's fashion roundups.
Oh my God. Sure. I love her dresses. I agree.
Okay. I mean, I didn't understand the one sleeve going to the floor, but that doesn't mean, like, I get that fashion is an art just like anything else.
No, Craig, it was cool. It was like an origami. Like, it was when she kind of scrunched up, it just looked like a piece of cloth. But then when she, you know, used her arms, it like was like a swan. It was cool, I thought. That's right.
Yeah, whenever I see a woman in a red dress, I think of one thing, which is years and years ago, Oprah, when obviously she had her show, she did this episode where she was talking about how women wear red dresses. And it was kind of like at that kind of period in time when discussions were starting to be had around, you know, women in the business place and how they feel like they need to get noticed, or the glass, you know, the glass ceiling and all that. But she had everyone in her audience that day that was wearing a red dress stand up, and it was like 25%. And she made the theory that women wear red dresses to her shows so that they'll be seen when the camera pans on the audience. I mean, this is literally what goes on in my mind whenever I see a red dress.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she is the Bachelorette. This is why I can't even fall
asleep at night.
She's already been, like, picked, you know. She's already the woman everyone's paying attention to, so
right.
I don't know, I think it's like she's already there. I thought it was a cool dress. It could have been any color.
It could have been a different color, and it could have been orange. It just really depends on what red, color heat temperature you had on your TV.
Well, the red showed the folds in that. I'm sure that has a name, you know, that foldy thing that was cool. Anyways, it was cool. Uh-huh. I liked it. I wouldn't wear, you know, I wouldn't wear any of this, but I like it all.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. Is this it? Are we ending? I mean, we literally have so much more to talk about, but we've also been doing this for over an hour now, so.
No, I don't think we do have any more to talk. We went through the whole episodes, all the episodes. Huh. I mean, the two episodes.
Wow. I guess I just get sad when this time. point period of time comes, because, you know, as much as I complain about just about everything related to this podcast and show, I actually do love it.
Yeah, it's a special time in season. Every week, we get special to talk about these things.
Of our lives.
Well, maybe we'll be here next week for sometime. We've got to do our preview of the contestants. I don't know.
Yeah,
when
we
got to
do the Bachelorette countdown. Yeah, we'll do that in the next few months. We keep threatening to do a David Lynch dedicated show.
Oh, ECR and I will follow through on that threat too, Craig.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, I would have to do a lot of research just to make sure I'm up on my David Lynch.
I would want to come unprepared. That would be the thing. Yeah.
Right.
No. Well, when I was falling asleep, Craig, like you're saying, like right before I fell asleep, I was thinking, oh, you know what we should do is frame the Bachelor franchise through either like Eraserhead. Right. Eraserhead. I almost said Erasurehead because of the band.
Right.
And Wild at Heart and Blue Velvet.
Yes.
And I think understanding those three movies and how they're kind of the thread, they're about relationships,
right,
would be an interesting. Or maybe, I don't know, what do you think, Chris? Mulholland Drive, I don't know.
I mean, I love that idea. A friend of mine co-hosts the Virtual Reality Podcast. That's what it's called, the Virtual Reality Podcast. And I've been thinking, like, we should go on their podcast and talk about reality TV as virtual reality.
That actually sounds pretty intriguing. That's getting me excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we can never, we won't use the word literally, like everyone. We'd only use the word figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively so excited to be here.
Yeah. Like, I was like, figuratively about to blow my mind. I figuratively died.
Yeah.
I'll write him a note here once we hang up. I think that's, now that I've gotten your seal of approval,
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well.
Okay. Another end to our season.
2 months, exactly. And we're right back at it, doing the same things, talking about the same stuff.
It's going to be exciting. What are you talking about? Hannah B is excited.
Yes. That smile, I swear to God, is going to be the end of me. I'm going to have, it's really going to get into my dark dreams at night. I'm going to have to, like, change my medication or something.
You know, our show is like this sketch on Mitchell and Webb, which are these British comedians. They have this brilliant sketch, Craig, that you would either love or hate, but in my mind right now, you would love it. They do a recurring sketch called Number Wang. They do this over years. And Number Wang is like a TV game show, but it's like the most pointless show ever. So they do it. And the joke for a while is it's so repetitive. It's the same sketch that they almost do every time. But as the seasons go on, it becomes more and more dystopic until by the final season, it's just like robots playing this and like torturing humans on the show. And it's very kind of nihilistic. And that's Bachelor Masters becomes like the circle keeps going the same every season, but spirals more and more to madness.
I love it. I mean, I have noticed that my outlook, not only on life, but on as expressed on the podcast, has been getting darker and darker as I've been watching more and more Rick and Morty. So, you know, adding that show to the mix would probably only continue
that trend. That was a strike three sigh from ECR. Am I right?
Yeah. Banned, I said. You guys are so pessimistic about it. And honestly, I think it's making me more optimistic because I live in the nuances of the different seasons. That's where I find a lot of, I don't know, a lot of things to explore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not normally that, you know, excited about anything. But I do think when we're, you know, Chris, you just described it as kind of a spiral down. I'm thinking of it as like a spiral up into theory, you know, into like grounded reality theory.
I like that's the contrast that makes this show so fun.
Let's end on that note because it's uplifting. It's forward thinking. It gives us a theme for next season, which is the spiral up.
Boom.
That could be our tagline. We're going to spiral. Just which way will we spiral?
Inverted cone. Or a tornado. Okay.
All right, you guys and everyone listening, thanks for making it this far. And you know how to find us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you in a couple months.
Bye, see ya. Portugal doggy. Portugal dog.